is actually extremely important to me. So we're going to be focusing on He is, therefore I am, and it specifically, He is worthy, therefore I worship. And very, very specifically, we're going to be talking about how worship is warfare. We're going to get there. So I want to, first of all, I want to thank you for coming this morning. I know how hard it is to get out of bed in the morning. I'll share with you guys a little bit of what Ella and I have been going through. We have a lovely daughter who is allergic to sleep. And none of you know what that's like. And so in this, I got a cold, so I've been coughing a lot. So if I cough in the middle of the service, well, you'll have to excuse me for that. But we're going to be talking about how worship is warfare. And very specifically, I want to continue sharing with you about how worship is so important to me. So everything I do in life really revolves around worship. Worship for me has been, ever since I was very little, I connected so well with music, specifically singing to Jesus and singing the praises of God. And it's always been something that has drawn me into the presence of God. See, for worship for me has always been about me pouring my heart out, pouring my life out, and just pouring my inner being out to God. I remember one when I was young and I was at a camp and I was volunteering. I was a leader at the camp. I was helping out doing games. It was really fun. It was for a children's camp. And one of the other leaders there who he'd gone on a YWAM trip and, you know, he's done all these mission work. And he said to me something very interesting that stuck with me my whole life. And I'm slowly understanding as I age. I was about 14 years old when he told this to me. I said, you know, I'm at that place where I feel God. I was telling him, I feel God. And he took a moment to mentor me in worship. And he said, okay, now you're there, go deeper. And I was like, well, what do you mean go deeper? I'm already there. And he said, no, you've just reached the surface. That moment where you feel God and you feel the presence of God, then you go deeper. And he said that to me, and I never really understood it. I didn't understand it at 14. In fact, I said to him, I don't get that. I don't understand. I feel like I'm there. Maybe it was arrogance in my age. Maybe I thought I had it all together because I was a pastor's kid. I don't really know because I don't remember. But I remember being like, no, he must be wrong. I'm there. I've made it. I can feel God. I can feel the presence of God. And he said to me, and it is still rings in my ear, when I feel the presence of God through worship, it rings in my ears, okay, now it's time to go deeper. And so there's this expression that happens in worship, and I'm giving you my own kind of experience, where when in worship, there's another level to go deeper. I don't know, do you guys ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like there's something about worship, and maybe you kind of hit that level, but you're like, how do I go deeper? What does that look like? And maybe you feel that. Maybe, I don't know. I hope I'm not the only one alone in that. And I still am learning daily how to go deeper in the Lord through worship. But I felt very strongly last Sunday while Blair was speaking, the Lord gave to me this word. Worship is warfare. And he wanted me to specifically talk about how worship is warfare. Now, we're going to be flushing out a few different verses and kind of going through the process. But I very specifically want to talk about one thing that I noticed while I was studying and I was researching and I was praying and asking the Lord. And it was a very simple thing. I was realizing that a lot of how I act and how I speak and how I present myself, I end up presenting worship or warfare specifically. I present, or we talk about warfare as a defensive action. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe you guys have heard that before. You know, take your stand against the enemy, right? We've heard that before. That's a defensive posture, right? And I realized that idea had actually seeped even a little bit deeper into me, because I realized that I felt like I was on my heels against the world. So as an example, think of a Roman legion line. They had these big shields, and they would hold people back. So I would thought that us as Christians, we are holding them back from advancing. So when I hear take warfare, I think, okay, we have to make sure that we don't lose ground. And I was realizing that that thought process starts to put people as my enemy rather than who my true enemy is. I started realizing that how easy it could be for us when we stand like this to focus on that person that's right here rather than everything else that's going on. And to allow that person to actually become our enemy when we know that's not true. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Because I believe that Paul, and we'll get into it, was telling us to be willing and able and ready to defend ourselves, but defend ourselves in a forward motion. And what I mean by that is moving forward for the advancement of the kingdom of God, rather than just barely holding on. And how worship is a primary action in that process. But first, let's lay some groundwork. So, it says in Ephesians 6, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground." We talked about this, right? "And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist," so on and so forth. He gives us a whole bunch of other items of clothing that we can wear, and I encourage you to read that on your own. And then he concludes with this. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert always. Keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me," he says. This is Paul speaking. Whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So therefore, put on the armor of God. So when the day of evil stands, so on and so forth. So I missed it because you do your notes and you forget something. Well, I realized I forgot the first three verses of this, so I'm just going to grab my Bible and I'll read it to you because that's going to be a key focus here. So it says from 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that the day stands, you can stand against the evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I'll read that again. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to take them out. "So finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh, and it is not against blood. It is against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You see, when we stand in this, we make people our enemy. How many of you have looked at this world that we live in and we say, man, people are so evil. How could they think that? How could they believe that? You know, I don't want my kids seeing that. And we stand like this, on our heels. Now, what I believe Paul is actually getting here, which is why we read this last bit, is I actually believe that he's talking about advancement of the kingdom of God. He's saying, guys, listen, when you're going out to preach fearlessly the word of God, you are going to come under attack. Because the enemy does not want you to spread the love of Jesus Christ. That's not what he wants. He's going to come after you. And so you need to defend yourselves. You need to be ready to defend yourselves against the spiritual attacks. Because you see, if we focus on people, we make people the problem, and we make them our enemy. If we focus on spirits and spiritual realms, people are not our problem. And it gives us room to talk to them, not as combatants, but as one brother or sister to another. You see, because if you want all the things in this world to change, people need to get saved. We don't need to defend ourselves. We need people to get saved. We don't need to rebuttal against the devil. We need people saved. If we don't like the laws of this land, we need to get people saved. If we don't like the way the world is going, we need to get people saved. Because that's what's going to change it. And it's... My daughter agrees. Amen. Bring a tear to your eye. Okay. Because that's what's going to change. That's how we're going to change this world. We're not going to change this world like this. In an attitude of, oh God, help me, I can't do this. Now, of course, we're allowed to feel like that sometimes. But let's change from here to here. Oh God, I don't know if I can keep pushing forward. Help me keep pushing. Because that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, God, I need boldness to keep pushing forward. I need strength to keep pushing forward. And he gives us all the armors of God to put on. I encourage you to read that on your own. I included only one in there, and I included it very specifically. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Why that is so important is the belt of truth is Jesus Christ, which is your first line of defense. You are not your first line of defense. Jesus Christ is your first line of defense. So don't take on a fight that isn't yours. Let Jesus take that on for you. So worship is warfare. So worship actually has the ability, now that we know, we're not talking about people, right? We're not talking about people. We're not talking about your neighbor, nothing like that. We're actually talking another realm, which the Bible talks a lot about, the spiritual realm. So I want to talk about how worship in warfare can readjust the atmosphere that is around you and around others and can actually change what happens. So we see here, now, this is 1 Samuel 16. So Saul was anointed king because Israel said, give us a king. And Samuel said, no, God wants to be your king. And they said, we don't want God to be our king. We want a man to be our king. And so God said to them, I will give to the people what they want. And they got Saul. And Saul was not who God was going to appoint to be their king, but that's what they wanted. And Saul was not a great king. He sinned against God. And he did a lot of bad things. And so here we see Saul has done something grievous against God. He has disobeyed his direct commandment. And he decided to hoard things for himself when God told him to destroy them. And so God removed his spirit from Saul, the spirit of leadership that David had. Just a few verses before, Samuel anointed David with oil for the spirit of leadership over Israel. God removed that from Saul and said, okay, Saul, you want to be on your own? Because this is before Jesus, right? No breaking lines between God and ourselves. He says, okay, Saul, you want to do it on your own? My hands are off. So it says, now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord, so it's actually not from the Lord. I know it seems like that. What God is saying is, my hands are off. Whatever happens is on your head, right? From the Lord tormented him. We skip ahead a few verses. Whenever the Spirit of God from God came on Saul, one of Saul's men suggested, hey, you know what? We know this farm boy who loves to worship. He loves to play his guitar. Let's bring him in. David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. You see, worship has a way of readjusting the spiritual atmosphere. When we worship God and we give praises to God, we change things in the supernatural realm. It's right here. When we worship God, things must change around us. Because when you invite God into your place, and when you give all your praise and glory and worship to Him, things have to change. They might not change the way you want or the way you think they should change, but they will change, period. That's just the way it works. Because when we worship God, we invite the King of the universe, who created all things, into our midst. And we welcome Him into our presence. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, listen, that's great. I can't sing. Well, Blair made a very interesting point, and some of you guys, I'm sure guys and gals didn't like it, that your work is worship. When you give your work as a spiritual sacrifice to the King of Kings, you will adjust the atmosphere of your work. You have a bad work environment? Give God your hands, the work of your hands. And it will change what goes on at your job. It will change the way people work and interact with you. You don't have to say anything. Just give the work of your hands to the King of Kings as worship before Him. Lay it down before Him. Rather than something you do to sustain yourself, I just got a job, that's all I got to do. Give to Him your job. You know what? It could be delivering papers. Give to Him your job. It could be a CEO of a company. Give to Him your job. That's just one example of how worship is not just music. There's, of course, many more. But the atmosphere changes. Has anybody ever noticed that? I know that's something for me. When I'm in things are kind of like tense. You know, things are tense in my heart. Yeah, I'm weighed down by something. I'm stressed by something. I pick up my guitar and I start to sing the praises of Jesus Christ, and all those things go away. That's a personal experience. When I pick up my guitar or turn on the worship music, and I decide to take my focus off my problem and the people and all that stuff and put it on Jesus Christ, the atmosphere changes. Because when you sing His praise, when we enthrone Him on high, His kingdom comes. Because that's what He promised. Another way that it changes the atmosphere, and this is now in the New Testament, is about midnight. So Paul and Silas, they were arrested. They were out preaching fearlessly the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they got arrested. Shocker. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners, they were listening. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and all at once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Okay, you know, some of you think that, you know, you're a bad singer. Imagine singing so much that the doors of the prison break off. Either you got a really good voice or a really bad voice. So here they are worshiping God. And why this is an atmosphere change is because I'm willing to stake that they were not praying for God to release them. My guess, based on Paul, who we know in the Bible, is they were just praying and singing because that's what they do. Because they went, you know what? We're in a prison. We have a captive audience. Why don't we sing the praises of Jesus Christ right here, right now? They can't leave. And so here they are, singing the praises of God, and they adjust the physical atmosphere that they're in. So now we're not just talking the spiritual atmosphere, we're talking the physical atmosphere. Their worship quite literally broke chains. Because they decided that God was more important than their circumstance. God was more important than their situation. And the people that imprisoned them were not the problem. They weren't fighting them. They were fighting a spiritual battle. They were fighting a different battle than the people that were there. Paul, he was often chained in his life. And sometimes he would be in house arrest. And the way house arrest works is you got actually shackled to a guard. How many guards do you think we're going to find in heaven? Because he decided that they weren't the issue. Do you know what I mean? How many centurions do you think we'll meet in heaven who were shackled to Paul because he decided they're actually not the problem? They're not the issue. I have no quarry against them. They're just people who need salvation. And they just don't know what I know. So everybody's chains came loose. Now, I didn't put it up there, but I'm going to mention it because I think it's important. There's also another thing that happens when we pray and worship God and worship as warfare. We can look at someone, like Daniel. Daniel's a very good example of someone who prayed and worshiped God and didn't care what anybody thought. Actually, the king said, if you pray and worship God, I'm going to throw you in a pit of lions and they're going to tear you apart. And he said, nah, I don't care. My God's way more important than that. So here he is, and he's praying, and sure enough, the king's like, I'm sorry, Daniel, you broke the law. You got to go in the pit. And Daniel figured, oh, God will deliver me beforehand. He did. He thought, oh, for sure God's going to deliver me before I go in there. Sure enough, the day comes and they're walking him up to this big hole and, God will deliver me. And, in the hole he goes. Where are you, God? He didn't deliver him. You see, sometimes God delivers you but doesn't remove you from your circumstance. Daniel still had to spend a night in the lion's den. We think of this lovely story where, the mouths of the lions were closed. He spent a night in a lion's den. He was not removed from his situation. He was released and saved from it, but he still had to spend the night in the lion's den. That's the image of sleeping with one eye open. See, God isn't always going to deliver you from your circumstance or make it all go away or make it easy, but he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And that's why we worship. That's why we sing his praise. He's never going to leave you or forsake you because that's not how he works. That's not who he says he is. And the last one we're going to talk about is how it's not always about singing to be released. It's about just purely focusing on the King of Kings. Because as much as our prayer and our worship can change atmospheres, sometimes we pray and worship to try and make something happen. When really, it's not our job to do God's work. It's our job to pray and worship and allow God to do what he's going to do and allow him to do it how he's going to do it rather than how we want him to do it. Because that's warfare. We're not the generals. We're the praise team. He's got angels to fight the battles. We're the praise team. We're the cheerleaders. We get to praise and be excited. And he, of course, does give us the power to engage in spiritual activity. So early in the morning, this is King Jehoshaphat. He was a godly king just like his father and like his great-great-great, whatever it is, grandfather, David. And Jehoshaphat's a really amazing guy because he loved God so much that there was this army that was coming against them. It was made up of three different countries. And they were on their doorstep coming across the river. And you know what Jehoshaphat's first thing he does? I don't have it here, but do you know what his first thing he does? He says, you know what? Stop everything. Men, women, children, time to fast. And he called for all of Judah to fast and pray. And so here he is, calling his nation rather than to be afraid into spiritual warfare. Let's fast and let's pray and let's go to God with our problems because he's in control. And so here's this amazing, amazing man of God, and he's praying to God, and they receive a prophecy that God is going to deliver them. The Lord is going to deliver them. And so they're all excited and they're singing and they're dancing and they're just praising God for who he is. And then we come to here. This is the morning. Early in the morning, they're about to go out where God to the point where God told them to go. So early in the morning, they left the desert of, I don't know how to say that, Toka. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and he will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing the Lord's praises, sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever." And as they began to sing, the Lord set the ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. You see, it's not about us, and it's not about the people in our world. It's about our King of Kings. Worship is about giving due praise to him who sits on the throne. And so you see this amazing picture that they had nothing to do but to sing his praise. You know, when they showed up to the battle lines, if you want to read on your own, when they showed up to the battle lines, there was not one man left standing alive. All of them turned on one another. There was not one. Because the Lord did it, not them. So when we worship God, and we don't necessarily aren't focusing on trying to get something fixed, sometimes it's okay for that to happen. I'm going to be honest. There are times when we need to fast and pray for things. There are times when we need to break spiritual atmospheres, and we need to speak to them directly. What I'm talking about is I'm talking about general warfare, right? I'm not talking about specific, I'm talking about general warfare. Because our lives as Christians is advancement for the kingdom of God. And advancement for the kingdom of God comes through us taking all our focus off ourselves and putting it on Jesus. And letting him do a lot of the work, or all of it. Isn't that amazing? And so here we are, singing his praise. And they all fell before God. Not man, God. It's an important notation. Their praise is directly related, and their faith and their praise to God was directly related to the promise they were given through prophecy. We have been given a promise through Jesus Christ that your salvation is eternal. We have been given a promise by Jesus Christ that you are loved and that you are cared for. And it's because of these promises that we can sing, "Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever." You see, they sang it because they had a prophecy just before this, saying that they were going to win. And so they went out going, "All right, it's all done." What's different today? We've won. It's all done. Christ is literally raised from the dead, and there is no more condemnation in Christ. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. We have died with him and raised again. We're now a new creation. And our worship enthrones him so that his presence comes. You see, we are meant and designed for worship, whatever that worship is. I know some here think I'm talking specifically music. Personally, it's music for me. That's my experience of how worship breaks atmospheres. I would encourage you to change listening to certain music to worship music, because just even by surrounding yourself with the power and presence of God, you will change atmospheres. You can change your attitude. If you've got a bad attitude in the morning, listening to the radio, local radio station, probably isn't going to help you, is it? Because how can it? Not that it's bad. Not that anything's wrong with that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that go to war when you have a bad day. Don't accept it. Go to war against that through focusing on Jesus Christ, who is enthroned in heaven, and prayer and praise. Just simply focus on him. Take your eyes off your bad day and put it on him. Because it literally has to change. Whether you see it or not, it has to, because Jesus Christ cannot be welcomed into your presence and things not change. It's impossible. Because he is the readjuster of all things. Again, it just might not be how you want it to be. So, what I want you guys to take away from this morning is quite simple. You were designed to worship the King of Kings. And we were designed and we were created to take ground for the kingdom of God. There are moments in our life where we feel like we're like, I can't do this. But that's why Ephesians says, pray for the brothers and sisters. Pray for the saints. Because when you feel like this, it's time to go find a friend to help you. It's time to go find someone who will stand behind you and push you forward. Because that's what he's talking about. If you feel like this, go find somebody. Go find somebody that's going to push you forward and going to push you to pray and push you to sing his praise. Because although nothing or seems like nothing changes with your praise, you are reshaping. You are reshaping what's going on in the atmosphere around you to one that is focused solely on Jesus Christ. And it will affect you. It will change you. Worship comes from my innermost being. So when I sing, Jesus, I love you, or when you hear those words, maybe it's a song you've never heard before. It really doesn't matter. Maybe it's a song you don't even like. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Because you are taking active part in warfare against darkness just by agreeing with it. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to sing. By agreeing with it, by speaking it, by saying, yep, that's good, you take active part in readjusting the spiritual atmosphere around you. You take active part in reshaping your neighborhood. You take active part in recreating ourselves into the likeness of Jesus Christ, who was himself a worshiper. So what do you think would happen if we gave it a shot? What do you think would happen if we decided that when we're having a bad day, time for the worship music? When things are not feeling good, nope. Jesus, you are good. Regardless of my circumstances, Jesus, you are good. Your promises are good. Your promises are for me, not against me. You are with me. You are standing right here beside me. I can rely on you. I can trust you. Elle and I have been through some tough things in our lives. She's mentioned before, we had a miscarriage a number of years ago. We knew God was good in that moment. He never left us. He never forsaked us. He was right there. He never said, you're on your own. He said, draw near to me. And it's those moments you realize how close he really truly is to you and how he wants to lift you up and carry you forward. And in those moments, we can readjust what's going on in our lives by praying to our Almighty God. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We can readjust it because I'm saying it a lot because I really want you to get it. When he comes, things change. Period. I'm going to invite Sean back up this morning. And And we're going to give this a little try. He's got a song for us that I actually want to encourage you guys to sing with joy and jubilance. I don't know if that's a word. I'm a pastor, so I make up words. So I'm going to encourage you to stand. And this is about recognizing the truth that Jesus Christ has given us authority on this earth to reshape it for his kingdom. Amen? So let's pray. Father, Jesus, we worship you, God. We worship who you are and what you've done for us. We worship you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, we worship you. You are enthroned on high, O God. Lord, we give thanks to you. Let your mercies endure forever, Jesus. There is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing you cannot control or take over. There is nothing in this world that can stand to you and your might. So Jesus, we welcome you into this place. We welcome you here, Jesus. Father, we welcome you to break off the chains in Jesus' name. Father, we welcome you to push us. God, we welcome you to push us forward, to advance the kingdom of God. Father, we speak kingdom mind in Jesus' name over us. Father, we welcome your kingdom of God into this place, your holy of holies to join us. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are here. Amen.